evening, everyone. Welcome to the May 23rd, 2022 meeting of the Madison Landmarks Commission. I am going to hand it over to Lauren to discuss the processes and procedures for tonight's meeting.
Landmarks Commission members, please use video if you're able so we can ensure we have quorum. If you wish to speak, remember to use the raise hand feature. Also use the raise hand feature to make a motion or second. Voting will be considered unanimous. However, if you object to a unanimous vote, please use the raise hand feature when the chair asks for objections and a roll call vote will be taken. Members of the public who have registered to speak, you will remain muted until called upon. You will have 3 minutes to speak and staff will tell you when your time is up. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Lauren. I also want to just take this time to thank Alder Arvina for being with us here. We know it's her last week as serving as Alder in her district, and we really appreciate all of the time and effort she's put in here and at LORC, and we are truly going to miss her. She really brought a lot to the commission and was always open to learning and brought a really good perspective into the commission that we don't always hear. So we are really going to miss her. We appreciate her time and effort that she has put in here. So thank you, Arvina, for being here one last time.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's kind of fitting that this is my last committee meeting. And I want to especially thank all of you fellow members of the commission who answer all of my questions about what window parts are and helping me understand a lot of the processes that I have not really been familiar with. So I thank you for your patience and for all of the things that you've taught me. And I am going to be keeping the How to Read an American House book with me because I really like it. It's cool. Thank you.
Thank you. And good luck in your next endeavors.
And also, I'm still around. If anybody has any questions about anything, please feel free to contact me. My phone number is going to still be the same as it is listed currently. So
thank you. Okay, first on our agenda is the election of the chair and vice chair. I think as we announced last week, Ian Andrzejewski has resigned from the committee due to just being overloaded with lots of other things on her calendar. And so we are moving forward with the election of a chair and vice chair. Heather, I may need you to jump in and tell me what the next steps are.
Sure. So we need someone to nominate a chair first. And once we complete that process, then we will need someone to nominate a vice chair.
Okay, I nominate Katie Kalashevsky as chair.
Second.
Do we have a second? Awesome. Thank you. Okay, so I suppose for this, I'll go ahead and manage the voting. I will assume unanimous consent unless I see someone raise their either physical or digital hand. All right, then, Katie, I turn over the part two of this to you as the new chair of the Landmarks Commission and taking charge of the rest of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. I think then we need a new vice chair. So I'm looking for someone to nominate a vice chair.
Well, it's Rich or I, so. I'm happy to nominate Rich.
Oh, that's fine.
I guess I'll second that. Can I second that as the chair now?
I can if you can't.
Okay, I think for Robert's Rules of Order purposes, we will take Alder Martin's second.
Okay, then I guess I'm gonna assume unanimous consent unless I see it otherwise. Congratulations, Rich, and welcome to being vice chair of the Landmarks Commission.
Honored.
Okay, I guess I'm gonna move on with the agenda and move on to approval of the minutes from our last meeting, which would have been May 9th, 2022. I see a, are there any edits or?
I was not there the last time, so I'm not sure if I can, much I can comment on it.
I'll move approval.
I'll back up Rich.
Okay. Okay, then I again will assume unanimous consent and move on to item number two on our agenda, public comment. This is the point of the meeting where if you have something to comment on that is not on our agenda, we will hear from you. It does not look like we have anyone registered to speak on this item. So I am going to move on to, first I'm going to read that it is the practice of the Landmarks Commission to approve a consent agenda. This includes items that are removed from the agenda to be voted on as a group on which staff believes an application has had sufficient review towards approval with all of the conditions placed upon it. The applicant accepts those conditions, and there are no individuals who are registered to speak in opposition to the item. The consent agenda is addressed at the beginning of the meeting to allow applicants and registrants to leave the meeting unless a member of the commission requests separation, and then that agenda item is placed back on the agenda and is reviewed as part of the regular course of business. The following item is proposed for consent agenda, and that is item number three, Legistar File 70747, 1225 State Street. Do we have a motion for the consent agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve consent agenda.
Second. Sorry.
Okay, then I'm going to assume unanimous consent. And I am also, I apologize, I skipped disclosures and recusals. Are there any members of the body that should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code?
I need to disclose MUW employee with physical plant under facilities planning and management. We don't do the same stuff that project delivery team does, which we're gonna be reviewing tonight. So I don't think it's a conflict of interest. Throwing that out there.
Thanks, David. I guess I will also disclose that I once worked for the State Historic Preservation Office, who will then review this at the state level. I don't think that does anything under the city's ethics code, but wanted to disclose that just in case. Okay, so then we will move on to agenda item number four, which is Legistar File 68535, and that is 917 East Mifflin Street. Heather, I'll hand it back over to you.
Okay, I will attempt to share my screen. I apologize, I have technology difficulties again tonight. Okay, well, hopefully you are seeing project review up on your screen. So this is for what we call Bree Stevens Field. The stands were constructed by Claude and Stark, and they're in a Mediterranean revival style. But then shortly after that, one of the New Deal entities, the CWA, constructed the stone gate that went around the enclosure. And it's very indicative of the rustic New Deal style of public architecture. But that is the part that we are talking about tonight. So for history, well, there's a history. Constructed in 1926, that's the stands by Claude and Stark. Additions in 1934 and 1939, but we designated this as a city landmark in 1995. But what we have up here is a view of the main gates, which is the project proposed for tonight. So the proposal is to repair the masonry. That sounds very simple, but it's involved, and reconstruct the south gate. So what we have are some pictures here. The existing wrought iron gates, where they are connected into those stone piers, the metal is reacting, it is rusting, and it is causing deterioration of the stone. And you can see there's some, well, where the points of connection are, the it's just pulverizing the stone, and it looks like we've attempted to patch it in with some mortar over time, but it's resulting in the piers cracking. You can see some pretty substantial cracks along the way, and some up close pictures of the areas where things are starting to really fall apart. So the proposal is to remove the existing historic gates, deconstruct the pier and the attached wall there, put in some temporary gates, because this is going to continue to serve during the time that this work is being undertaken. So that's what the green dots there is talk about, the temporary gates. But then the proposal is to footers, because there aren't currently, do some real footers, have a base to serve for the new piers, but then install some additional supports that will attach to the footers and use the existing historic stone as a veneer. But there's some more involved process with that, because we don't really know the full depth of the existing stone piers. So there's some additional questions that we won't know until this project is really underway and we get into deconstructing the piers and find out what exists, where exactly we're working with. But as you could see from the previous pictures, there's also going to need to be some stone replacement, because there's areas where there are were blocks of stone that just aren't there anymore. They've deteriorated that far. So for the applicable standards as a designated landmark, we use the Secretary of the Interior standards for rehabilitation. And so there are no proposed changes to the property. The property will continue to retain its historic character. This work will retain the distinctive features for all that we will be doing an intervention that will allow this to continue to stand, hopefully for at least another century, if not longer. We are addressing the deteriorated historic features through repair. We're doing likely some limited replacement. And my guess is that when we're taking this apart, you can see that there's some dirt and elements of the weather, top stones. And so my guess is that once we take this apart, we're probably going to talk about cleaning the masonry. And so my recommendation was that whatever cleaning methods we use, that they be the gentlest means possible. There's some more detailed information in there about the methods that I'm proposing for undertaking the work. For all that, this will be a learning process as we get into it and evaluating the situation based upon the information that we gather as part of deconstructing. So I have asked for updated plans showing the footings encompassing the full extent of the reconstructed pier, including the area covered in veneer, to be submitted to staff. Documentation and numbering of the stones on the existing piers to be submitted to staff, so that when they are deconstructed, we don't just put it back to looking kind of like what it looked like, that we can put it back exactly where each stone was, put it back to where it needs to be. Also to have a contractor meeting with staff to determine the best course of action for converting the existing stones to serve as veneers. There are some ways that we can go about this. Maybe we're talking about flipping a stone. Maybe we need to talk about cutting some stones. We need to talk through those details when we get in, actually see what it is that's going on, but not necessarily bring it back to Landmarks Commission to talk through those details. And then final specifications for the method of connection of the gates to the masonry piers to be approved by staff. My recommendation was that whatever that point of connection is, and there's several different options, to have it be a non-reactive metal so that we don't have rusting metal interacting with the masonry and putting us right back into the situation where we are right now.
Thank you, Heather. I believe we have one person registered to speak, Sarah Close of the City of Madison Parks Division. Sari?
Hey, thanks, Katie. And thank you, Heather, for that that excellent overview. I know this project does seem simple from first glance, but it's become more complicated as we've gone along. And I think these are excellent suggestions. We've spoken to B&B Masonry to kind of get like the general concept about where we're sitting right now. But hopefully I'm here to answer any questions. Otherwise, if this is approved, we'll have to go out and do a request for proposals and hopefully get some good bids back so we can get this gate functional again.
Does anyone have any questions for Sarah of the Parks Department?
I don't know if it's a question in general, just for Sarah or for Sarah and Heather, but it sounds like, correct if I'm wrong, that we may or may not, when I say we, not me, obviously, may or may not replace full stones and maybe veneers. It may not, depends on how big the stones are at the moment. I'm assuming it's all sandstone, is that correct?
Okay, so I'm going to say it is, that is my assumption, but I would need to go and take a look at the stones again. This is not likely to be the Madison sandstone that, you know, we're familiar with our much older buildings, because this is a 1930s building, construction. But this stone was quarried from the Hoyt Park area, which has a lot of, you know, sandstone blocks kind of all over the place. Yeah. If you walk on the trail. So I suspect it is a type of sandstone, but I'd need to go take a look at it again.
I know you can cut sandstone. I guess I'm just a little nervous about cutting stones. And I get that stones are stones and they're all old. That's why they're stones. But it'd be interesting to take, when you take it apart, to find out how many full stones you could keep, if they have to be veneers. I'm not sure if the overall size of the piers right now, if they're like 24 wide. The 16-inch CMU unit in the middle. I guess I'm just a little concerned about cutting up the stones that are there and trying to make veneers out of them. I'm not sure why.
What's going on? I had similar concerns, which is why I was asking for a contractor meeting for us to talk about it. See, we don't know how deep the stones are. I have concerns about if we are going about this in a way where it could end up just pulverizing the stones and then they're just completely gone. Sarah and I had talked about some different options, and she said that one of the other possibilities that she'd received was to just install rebar in the center, as opposed to doing CMU and then doing the stones as veneers. So there are some possibilities, but I think we need to get into the point where we have more information about exactly what we're dealing with. And we need to deconstruct the piers to know that.
I mean, my preference, not that it's fully up to me, obviously, is to keep the stones whole as they are and figure out what the core needs to be to make it work. The thing stood 80 some years as it is, I guess. I don't know how much repair has been done in the past, but the mortar pockets don't surprise me. Whether they've been, those are repair pockets or those are original, I'm not really sure, but it would surprise me if they're original, quite frankly. They would have probably, instead of coring a stone hoping it would hang on, they probably would have mortared the anchors in place so they could set them where they wanted them. I would like to ideally see full stones go back to full stones. So just throwing that out there for what it's worth. But other than that, it's great. I mean, it would be great to preserve it and try and, you know, do original construction as close as possible and not just do a contemporary construction, because that's the easiest thing to do. You know, anybody can do that, I guess, now. So I guess it's not a lot of direction, just some concerns and some comments. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Anyone else have any questions? I assume maybe mistakenly that the Park Service is okay with Heather's proposed conditions for the project moving forward?
Oh yeah, that's no problem.
Okay. Then I guess I'm looking for a motion.
Move approval with staff comments and further investigation as the project moves forward. If I could add as well my own, just to reemphasize the desire to keep full stones and obviously put them back in place where they came from as it was taken apart. Which I think Heather does cover that part.
I think, is Rich seconding? If you are, you're muted.
I don't know how that happened. I'll second, and perhaps when the contractor meeting is scheduled, that the prospect of saving the full stones could be explored per David's wishes.
Okay, I will assume unanimous consent unless, nope, I'm seeing a thumbs up from Arvina, and this passes, and staff will work with the Park Service to make sure those conditions get met. Thank you very much. Bring up the agenda.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Rich.
Okay. Our next item, item number 5, is Legislature File 71554. This is state compliance review for 2 buildings on the UW campus, 915 West Johnson Street and 917 West Johnson Street. I'm handing it over to Mary. Thank you.
Yay. Okay, I'm going to share my screen. So we are reviewing 2 buildings that were proposed as part of the UW campus master plan that have already been approved by the plan commission. So this is just for state compliance review, and we're going to recommend that you guys follow your typical demolition review process. So the 2 structures are, the first one is the Zoe Bayless Co-op, which is located at 915 West Johnson Street, on the corner of West Johnson and North Park Street. It was constructed in 1955 by the architects Wheeler and String. There is a WHS site file, but it has very limited information. There's no city preservation file. And it was named for the Assistant Dean of Women from 1928 to 1943. The second structure is the one immediately next door, the Susan B. Davis Residence Hall, located at 917 West Johnson Street, which was constructed in 1961. Also has a limited WHS site file, no city preservation file, the same architects, and was named for the Dean of Freshman Women, who served from 1926 to 1941. And I'm going to put up the buildings proposed for demolition standards. So if you guys would like to make a recommendation and a finding on this, it will be passed along to the Wisconsin Historical Society. And let me know if you'd like me to go back to any of the previous slides.
Does anyone have a motion? Or sorry. We do have 2 people of the public, neither of which want to speak, but they're available to answer questions. That is Aaron Williams, who is the UW-Madison's facility and planning and management, and then also Scott Utter of also UW-Madison. So if there are any questions, they are available.
If they have any questions yet, but it does sort of sound like there's no historic known value based on the 2 reports we have. Is that correct?
Yes, the staff recommendation is that there's no known historic value, but there's very limited information. As I mentioned, we have no city preservation file, and the WHS site files are very limited beyond knowing who the structures were named for and the architects. That's pretty much all we've got in our records.
Okay. Thank you. I know there are unique living accommodations now, have been, I should say. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much that affects what we do, unless we know somebody that was living there that is famous, historic, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't, I I understand that a few of the alumni of these buildings are unhappy to hear that they're being torn down, but I don't know how that comes into our review of the buildings historically. I admittedly don't know too much about these buildings themselves.
Me neither. Really, really good vernacular. Move you guys on my way. I mean, obviously it's someplace between A and B. The only thing keeping it in the A would be the vernacular that's disappearing, the smaller dorms, living, whatever you want to call it, whatever they were considered.
Mm-hmm.
Guess I
say, since we no longer have our vernacular architectural historian on the commission, if you're talking yeah. about the style of architecture, if you add on comments either to an A or to a B finding, you could say that these are indicative of late modern period institutional housing. And they are a type that is disappearing for, I mean, that my site comment would be for, you know, very particular material reasons, but that they are a part of a particular period of the vernacular landscape for larger educational campuses.
What she said with a B, if I may, please.
Okay, do I see a second?
A second.
Okay, then I am going to assume unanimous consent unless I see otherwise from Arvina. Okay, then let's move on to our last thing on the agenda today, which is Secretary's report, the draft land acknowledgement language. Heather.
Okay, so let me see if I can share screen one last time. Okay, so to give a background about why we are talking about this, I'm going to give you way too much context because that's what I do. So there certainly was a wave across the country as various people started to realize that maybe we should think about the land in which we are on and acknowledge what used to be there and whose land this was. So there was a wave of land acknowledgments where folks were, making their shout out, but not necessarily doing something more. We were not one of the entities that really jumped on that in a formal way, but as part of the Landmarks Commission's official work for being a steward of the cultural resources that are within city limits, quite a few of those are sites with tribal affiliation, particularly of the older period before the city of Madison became the city of Madison. As we are continuing to evolve our program to make sure that we are undertaking that stewardship, not just being mindful of it, of these are sites of tribal heritage, but to do it in a way where we are enacting that stewardship and collaboration with our tribal partners. As I was thinking about this and doing more things around town and with other municipalities and hearing their land acknowledgement language, it was really, it was highlighting for me that we don't have it and it seems like a large omission for the type of work that Madison is doing. So I don't want this to be a virtue signaling where we are saying it and then we consider our work is done. I'm seeing this as a part of the process as we are continuing to take steps to make sure that we are fully engaging with our tribal partners for talking about the ways in which we take care of our cultural resources. So I did a first pass at developing some language, and then I sent it on to Alder Martin for her read on it as our first tribal member who served as a city alder and as the alder who serves on the Landmarks Commission. So she provided her comments and edits. What I would like is for the Landmarks Commission to take a look at this, provide comments if you have comments, and then I would like to take next steps to engage in a formal tribal consultation process to get some feedback from the tribes. And once we get to a conclusion of that process, then bring it back to Landmarks Commission for a formal motion. What I am envisioning is that this is something that we include on our website. We have as part of the opening of our Landmarks Commission meetings, and it would be a statement that the Landmarks Chair reads as part of the opening of every meeting. So the language that I have, I will highlight it up here. Well, maybe I will. So the language that we have proposed here is: Madison is located in the heart of the Ho-Chunk Nation's ancestral homeland. The U.S. government repeatedly removed the Ho-Chunk people from this place by force. The Ho-Chunk left their home under duress, but their deep ties to their homelands made it so that they repeatedly returned. They call this land Jope, which translates to Four Lakes in English. The city of Madison is committed to ongoing collaboration and partnership with the Ho-Chunk Nation. We also acknowledge the government-to-government relationship created by the treaties between the Ho-Chunk Nation and the federal government. The Madison Landmarks Commission is committed to engaging with the Ho-Chunk Nation as a peer and as part of its ongoing stewardship with the cultural resources within the city. So if you have been to, I go to Kids in the Rotunda at the Overture Center. I don't know what other programs at the Overture Center do this, but they do this as something similar as part of opening any of their community events. UW-Madison has a similar statement that they developed as part of tribal consultation for the opening of any events. I think it is important for the type of work that Landmarks Commission does to go ahead and enact such a statement. So I turn it over to the commission for your feedback and guidance.
I was just going to say thank you and send it to you guys to see if you had any comments or suggested edits or questions.
I think it's great that you identified that before we got too far with everything there and just missed entirely. I think, as we stated before, when it comes to cultural things that we're not exactly fully versed in, I'll have to say it. But I'm glad to hear that we're not doing the final tonight and you are going forward and talking with people that know more than us. Personally, I think it's a great start as it is until you do have the conversations with the nation. And I guess pass it with them. They're the ones that are going to provide probably better language than any of us could, well, most any of us, other than Alder Martin, of course. But I think it's a good starting point, and it should not be an ending point at this point. And I'm being curious to see how your conversations play out and what you come back with.
Yeah, I don't disagree either.
I would like to say thank you too to Heather for coming at this in a good way. You know, we do see a lot of these land acknowledgements that do feel awfully performative and exploitative. And there are some that you know, think that that's the end all be all and now they've done everything. And I really appreciate that Heather came at this as a, you know, we need to have a starting point and very much addressed those issues and was very understanding and making sure that this wasn't one of those, that this was an acknowledgement of some of the things that has happened here, but not just that acknowledgement, a commitment of sorts to continue to grow the relationship and work with the Ho-Chunk Nation. I think the language as a peer is really important personally. And, you know, having seen other organizations work with the Ho-Chunk Nation on their land acknowledgements, I'm thinking in particular right now, the Madison Metropolitan School District, there was consultation back and forth. And I think that having a solid kind of initial statement gives the nation something to look at rather than having to write everything and putting the labor on the nation. So I'm really glad that we can come forward with a proposal that addresses things that on the Landmarks Commission side we find important, and looking at this as a partnership statement rather than just this is what we think. So thank you so much. I really appreciate the way that this has been handled so far.
Thank you, Alder Martin. We really appreciate your feedback. So I guess next steps, Heather, is for you to keep working with the Ho-Chunk, or I apologize, I am not exactly sure what the next steps are.
No worries. The next step will be that I will initiate formal consultation. And so we will do that through official channels, and we will start a conversation. But yes, this will be, we have drafted this language. This is the purpose for which we are envisioning it. And we would like your feedback about, are we headed in a good direction? And we start the conversation. We'll see where we end up. Once we get to a final place, then I will bring it back to the Landmarks Commission for the Landmarks Commission to take formal action.
Okay, excellent. Okay, it sounds like we have no edits at this time, but we look forward to hearing what the Ho-Chunk Nation says out of formal consultation.
And
thank you.
Kind of along the lines of what I said earlier in today's, at the beginning of today's meeting, I am happy to keep working with you, Heather, on this and the related issues, just because this is something that is important to me. And I this is something that I wish I could have worked on more and had kind of solid before I was leaving council, but I am absolutely happy to continue helping. And I hope that you'll continue to reach out to me so I can be of assistance.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Alder Martin, for giving the time both while you're here and when you're no longer an alder. Thank you very much. I think that is the end of our agenda. So I will take a motion to adjourn the meeting at this time.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Again, thank you so much, Alder Martin. We look forward to seeing what you do post-alderness. And we look forward to hopefully working with you on different projects moving forward, even though you're not a part of this commission anymore.
Absolutely. I'm here for it. And thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you all.